you. Could you turn on your microphone, please?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Beale. I have declared a financial interest, which I've left with the relevant director. This one's working. I've received a declaration of interest from Councillor Russ Fishwick, which is a financial interest, as the Councillor is a joint owner of a property in the Amendment 90 area. I've also declared a conflict of interest, two conflicts of interest from Councillor John Chester, both being interests that may affect impartiality, one being that his daughter owns two properties within the areas subject of Amendment 88 and 90, and he owns a property, or Councillor Chester owns a property in Housing Opportunity Area 1, but that is not within the area subject to Amendment 88 and 90, and is also an interest that affects impartiality. Councillors, are there any other or further declarations of interest? Thank you, Councillor Fishwick. There being none, we now move on to public question time. There is a set of procedures relating to public question time, and I respect that you follow my direction at all times. You have the opportunity to ask two questions, and your questions should be directed to myself and asked in a polite and respectful manner. Please state your name and address for the public record. I have received a number of names who have been put down on the list for questions. As I go to them, I would again remind the meeting that as this is a special council meeting, questions must relate specifically to the agenda item before us. Questions which go beyond the agenda item before us, I will rule out of order. I now call Mrs. Suzanne Thompson, please, and please state your name and address for the public record.
Good evening, Suzanne Thompson, 1 Bracken Court. My question is this. Upon reading the current policies and practices, we have found that once a scheme amendment has been advertised and reviewed by council, it becomes a seriously entertained planning proposal, which means our amendment must be given due consideration for any future planning applications. Bearing this in mind, can councillors then understand why we wish to advertise as soon as possible?
I think the premise in that question is not correct. It is not the case that if the matter is being advertised, it can be given such due consideration, but I will ask the Acting CEO to comment further.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ordinarily, if we're dealing with issues like policies, planning policies, or we're dealing with structure plans or similar planning frameworks, they can be taken into account when we're exercising discretion on proposals. We can take them into account as seriously entertained planning proposals. When it comes to matters of zoning, the only time that we are able to take a different zoning into account to that's stipulated in the scheme is when there is certainty that that scheme amendment will be approved. And we've actually taken legal advice on this, and the legal advice confirms that for the amendment, we will only be able to use them to determine development applications when we're certain that they'll get approved. And for the purposes of the amendments, that will be when we know for sure that the Minister for Planning will approve them and that they will be gazetted. But before then, we're not able to take them into account.
So can I just quickly clarify as my second question then? So it only becomes a seriously entertained planning proposal once it's gone back to the WAPC and they've given it the okay?
We're only able to take it into account through you, Mr. Mayor, when we are certain that the Minister will approve it and that it will be gazetted. So even if it goes through public consultation and even if Council adopts it as a final amendment for our purposes, it then needs to go to the WAPC. The WAPC makes a recommendation to the Minister on the amendment. So even if the WAPC ended up supporting the amendment, We would not be able to use that amendment to assess and determine development applications until the minister is going to approve that amendment, and we're certain that that will happen and it will be gazetted. But before then, we're not legally able to take that into account.
Okay, thank you for answering.
Thank you. I call Mr. Dennis Charon. And please state your name and address for the public record.
My name is Dennis Charon. I live at 22 Halgania Way in Duncraig. I note that one of the concerns mentioned in the agenda item is that LPS3 will be in place before we have completed our amendment process. And this issue has been raised by Ms. Page each time our amendments are discussed. But the explanation behind this and repercussions are vague, with phrases like may be an issue. Can we now please get a definitive answer on if it will be an issue, and following that, what our planning department and councillors are going to do on our behalf to make sure it is not an issue and does not delay us further?
As this is a special council meeting, what is before us tonight is the consultation on Amendments 88 and 90. But I will actually ask the director to comment further on LPS3, even though I indicated that wouldn't be the case, to comment further, just to clarify that for the meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think what we've done is we've outlined in all the reports that it is likely that there will be an issue with LPS3. So we're not able to definitively say whether it absolutely would be, because we don't have control over either the scheme amendment process or the process of finalising a new scheme. Both scheme amendments and the scheme itself needs to go through the Department of Planning, and then the Western Australian Planning Commission, and then the Minister for Planning. And there are no statutory timeframes linked to those processes. So although we can anticipate when things will happen, we can never say for absolutely sure or with absolute certainty when it will. In the case of LPS3, the approval by, or the consideration of LPS3 by the Western Australian Planning Commission is imminent. So we should know within the next few weeks whether they will support the new scheme and what modifications they will require us to make to that scheme. So it is that far advanced, the scheme, that they asked us a while back to look at modifications. This was quite some time back. It is too late to intervene in the process of LPS3 to insert any amendments. So the issue with that means that if LPS3 is finalised before these amendments have progressed sufficiently, we will need to initiate a new amendment to LPS3. And I guess that is the risk that I have flagged in all the reports, that it is likely that will be an issue.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mrs. Lisa O'Callaghan, please state your name and address for the public record.
My name is Elizabeth O'Callaghan, 29 Eucalypt Court, Duncraig. I think this might have been answered, but it's my question. Can a clause be placed in our amendments to state that our amendments will be captured by LPS3, or failing that, that they will not be held up or nullified by LPS3?
Thank you. I'll ask the Director and Acting CEO to make some comments.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. An amendment can only be initiated and made under the current scheme. So we are not legally able to initiate an amendment to a draft scheme, only to the scheme we've got. And in very exceptional circumstances, depending on the timing of the amendment and the progression of the scheme, the Commission is sometimes able to wrap an amendment under the current scheme into a new scheme if the timing aligns. In this case, it doesn't, because the new scheme is too far advanced and these amendments still need to be consulted on, and they still need to come back to Council and be assessed by the Commission. So they're a bit further down the track. So we're not able to capture this one in LPS3, unfortunately.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. William Cosson, and please state your name and address for the public record.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and fellow councillors. My name is William Cosson and I reside at 165 Sequoia Road, Duncraig. My question is, the requirement of the city community consultation and engagement policies are cited as something council should consider when deciding whether to allow us to advertise during recess. Can anyone show me where in those rules it says that it isn't allowed?
I think in asking your question indicates you have read the policy, and the policy is as it is. So.
Could you repeat that, please? I wasn't sure what you said.
No, I don't have the policy in front of me, but the report outlines the relevant sections of that policy. That is, it is the council's position that we do not consult over the summer period unless the council decides otherwise to do so.
I see. Well, taking then that it isn't allowed, according to the policy, you can advertise over the summer recess. Does that sound fair to you?
No, I said the policy says that it is the policy of the council to not do so unless the council decides otherwise.
Right, OK. I think you've answered it. Thank you.
Thank you. Mrs. Tanya White, please.
Good evening, Council. My name's Tanya White, 5 Bracken Court, Duncraig. We have been told that the advertising material have been prepared. I would like to ask that the lead petitioners are now allowed to review all the materials that will be sent out to our community before they are sent out. In light of the Council's previous attempts at communication, we believe that we should be allowed to make sure the message is clear and unbiased. We will return it to you with our comments within 24 hours.
No.
Okay, so my second question, can we then request that our ward councillor, Russ Fishwick, be allowed to review materials before they are sent? Again, we stress that we do not expect this to hold up proceedings.
No, the materials will be released equitably so that everybody has a chance to view them and an equal opportunity to view them at the same time. Thank you for your question.
Thank you.
Mrs. Miriam Cosson. Okay, thank you. Mr. Steve Cole.
Steve Cole, 57 Halgunia Way, Duncraig. I note your previous response regarding the council decision to advertise proposals. That's why I would ask, you advertised the LHS proposal that brought about Amendment 73 over the Christmas period in 2013, and more recently LPS 3. Was advertised right over the Christmas recess period 2016-17. If I was to make a complaint about the inconsistency of the advertising in terms of the fact that Duncraig South hasn't been advertised over this Christmas period, how would I go about it and where would I go?
You can write to the CEO or you can write to myself as mayor.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. David Nicholson.
Good evening, councillors. My name's David Nicholson, 16 Eucalypt Court, Duncraig. Sorry. If, as previously outlined by the Director of Planning, property values are unable to be considered from the planning point of view, why has the issue of reducing development potential, which equates to property value, been cited as a consideration on this occasion?
I don't think that question pertains to the matter before us, which is a decision on whether or not to advertise in accordance with the council's policy timeline. So I rule that question out of order. Do you have a second question?
I'm struggling to understand why the first question is ruled out of order, since the whole business of the planning has an effect on valuation.
Yeah, we're not here to debate the merits of 88 or 90. That is something that the council has unanimously decided to support. So the council has a position unanimously, as of the December meeting and prior, that they support both Amendments 88 and 90. All that is being discussed today is around the timing of the consultation, whether Council adheres to its existing policy or decides to go out to consultation earlier than the Council's current policy. That is all that is before the Council meeting tonight. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
If I can ask Miss Neki Danger.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, elected members and everyone here. Neki Danger, Ninecutter Crescent, Beldon. The question that I have is not appropriate, so I'll leave that one out and ask one that's much more to the point. What is the City of Joondalup's policy regarding community consultation and engagement? I read and I've checked the 2010 version, compared it with the most recent one, and the wording is very similar. I keep hearing only part of the paragraph being quoted. As, the word as in English is taken often to interchange between the word because. And in actual fact, it's a conjunction and it says as the CEO can actually consult on statutory planning issues. I would love some clarification because I've tried very hard to understand what is going on. Is that out of order now?
No, my microphone started to work and then stopped working.
Oh.
So I was just...
Do you want me to repeat it?
Please don't interrupt. I was just working on some of the logistics up at this end. Again, that's probably straying a bit beyond where we are, but I will ask the acting CEO to make some comment in reply.
Thank you.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I guess to address the issue of the wording of the policy, the wording of the policy allows the CEO to agree to advertising of some planning proposals over the summer break where there are statutory timeframes associated with them. So the Act and the regulations and planning schemes and even requirements by the Commission sets in place certain timeframes within which the city needs to deal with an application or the like. Otherwise, the Commission can just make the decision, or an applicant can appeal to the SAT on the basis of a deemed refusal because we're out of time on the issue. But for processes where there isn't a statutory time frame allocated to it in legislation, that falls outside of the CEO's ability to agree to advertise it over the Christmas period. So that then becomes an issue for Council to decide if they think it's appropriate for each particular circumstance, whether or not for that particular issue it's appropriate to consult or not.
I really appreciate that. Thank you very much. That might explain the inconsistency because there's been 10 that have been done through the summer period.
Danielle, this isn't the opportunity for public statement time. Do you have a second question?
No, thank you for listening.
Thank you. Mr. David Nicholson. Already called. Thank you, sir. My apologies, is it Boris Kurse? Are there any other members in the gallery who wish to ask a question? There being no other residents who wish to ask a question, I declare public question time closed. We now move on to public statement time. I have before me 8 people who have put their names down on the register for public statement time. Under the rules of public statement time, there is actually no opportunity to extend it, so I would flag that there is a set of procedures which relates, and I ask that you follow my direction at all times. You are able to make a statement for up to 2 minutes. and your statement should be directed to myself and be polite and respectful. No question or discussion will occur at the end of your statement. I invite you to please come forward and state your name and address for the public record as you make your statement, Mrs. Sue Thompson.
Suzanne Thompson, 1 Brackencourt, Duncraig. I would like to make it clear that we did not take exception to the consultation process because Council previously advertised over Christmas recess. In fact, advertising over the Christmas recess happens so frequently as to be unremarkable. As examples, the original local housing strategy was advertised during Christmas recess in 2014, as was the LPS3 as recently as 2017. And why not? It isn't against the rules. Rather, the myriad reasons why we feel that consultation process has been insufficient and flawed, to quote the agenda, would take much longer than 2 minutes to list. Fortunately, they are not difficult to understand. So instead, I have emailed each councillor a copy of the materials, the city's four limited attempts at consulting with us, to read at your leisure. And as you read them, please bear in mind just how alarmingly lacking in any tangible detail the 2010 survey is, and that the remaining three small space ads appeared a grand total of five times all told in the newspapers that we do not receive and are not even available in our local shop. That is how you do a flawed job of consulting, writing clear, unbiased letters to all affected residents at the end of January, and then offering people 60 days to respond is not. It's not flawed, and it should happen.
Thank you, Mrs. Thompson. Mrs. Taryn Walter.
Taryn Walter, 4 Brackencourt, Duncraig. It has been explained to us on a number of occasions that our amendments are likely to take at least 18 months to be completed. Given that the LPS3 was advertised over the Christmas period of 2016, I believe that the Director of Planning could clearly have foreseen that even then, that the LPS3 would likely be passed before Amendment No. 88 was enacted. Couple this with the fact that we have had months of stalling and roadblocks to get our amendments in place, and it is clear that if LPS3 really is going to be a problem, then we are being set up to fail. I believe that there has been plenty of time and good reason for the Director of Planning to find and outline all the facts around this. These vague statements are unhelpful. If LPS3 is actually a problem, I call upon the Department of Planning, whose salaries are paid for by our rates, to devise a way to make sure it is no longer a problem. I also call upon our councillors to ensure that our planning department sees this through. We now need our Department of Planning to stop fighting against the residents of Duncraig South and start working with us. They need to work out how to expedite this process and allow us to advertise our amendment immediately and to ensure that it happens, as this is what the residents want. We need to achieve this as quickly as we possibly can. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Mark Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mark Taylor, 5 Cadia Court, Duncraig. One of the only three reasons listed by the Director as something to be considered is, and I quote, undertaking consultation during the summer break introduces the risk that some community members may not have the opportunity to be properly engaged and have input into a process which will, if approved, reduce the development potential of their properties. When we talk development potential, we are of course talking about the value of the property to potential developers. Yet I note that time and again, Ms. Page has been at pains to point out to us that, to quote an example, property values are unable to be considered from a planning point of view. That being the case, I do not believe that it should have been listed as a consideration on this occasion either, and to my feeling this is a clear double standard.
Thank you, and thank you to the IT team for getting this microphone working. Mr. Justin Prince, please.
Good evening. My name is Justin Prince. I live at 6 Halgania Way in Duncraig. Just before I make my statement, I want to note the comments made earlier around allowing us as community members or other members of the council to review materials before they're published to make sure that they're going to explain what's going on effectively, and the comments that you've made stating that that would not be allowed. So I guess what I'm trying to say here is that we're not looking for any special dispensation. However, allowing the people who are going to be impacted by this communication to have a voice through the communication, whether it be reviewing it as part of the general reviewing process or not, would be very, very helpful. And I'm struggling to really understand why you wouldn't want your community to be part of that process. To follow on from the other points we wanted to make, we really want to make sure that the materials that go out are clear and unbiased. Unlike the previous communications, they should make it easy for any layperson to understand what is being advertised and why. The communication needs to explain that residents are being given the option to be recoded back down to R20, R30. It needs to explain what exactly the R code means, including the outlining the consequences of amalgamated blocks or the differences between grouped and multi-dwellings. It should point out that the new apartment codes will change the rules again, for example, allowing three-storey developments at R40. It should also make it clear that the provisions originally promised with the 2010 survey and up until amendments number 73 were passed were not eventually implemented. We're aware the council is currently working for some quick fixes for R40. We do not think these measures will take things far enough, and feel that if mention is made of them at all, the communication must state that these have not been approved as of yet and may be rejected by the WAPC. The information should also make it clear regarding the number of extra dwellings that if we vote not to be rezoned, we may get a potential quadrupling of dwellings in our suburb versus a simple doubling at R30.
Thank you. That ends your time.
Thank you.
Mr. Alan Reid, please. Thank you, Mr. Reid. Mrs. Miriam Cosson.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, councillors and fellow of Joondalup residents. My name is Miriam Cosson. I reside at 165 Sequoia Road, Duncraig. Mr. Mayor and councillors, you will recall I forwarded to you a copy of my statement, which I was unable to present at the 12 December meeting due to the 15-minute cutout. A detailed response was received from the On Mayor, and amongst other comments, it is his opinion that one crossover allowing vehicles to arrive and or depart from a site which has 32 car bays was a safer option to three crossovers from three separate dwellings with six car bays. This makes no practical sense to me. The On Mayor also advised the subject site, 449, 451 and 453 Beach Road, Duncraig, has been granted planning approval and there is no ability to reconsider or revoke this approval. I say it's not too late. No building has been demolished, no work has been started and the buildings are tenanted. The developers state Beach Road is a quiet road. If this is the case, why were roadworks being carried out at night? The proposed building is also below the crest of a hill, which is dangerous with the steep downhill descent to Devalier Road and to a set of traffic lights, making entry to and from the proposed building by residents, carers, cleaners, etc., extremely dangerous to them and other road users. In closing, I stress this building will destroy the privacy of residents, the suburb's ambience, quiet enjoyment and values of our homes. It must not proceed. The only people to profit from this type of development are the developers. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Costin. Mr. John Cook.
Withdrawn.
Thank you, Mr. Cook. Mr. Colin Ingram.
Withdrawn.
Thank you. Do any other residents in the gallery wish to make a statement?
Can I make one more?
No, you may not. Do any other residents wish to make a statement?
Stephen Cole, 57 Helgoni Way, Duncraig. All we ask is for you to go out to our community and at long last take the opportunity to properly educate and neutrally ask us what we want in terms of development in our own area. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, and I can assure you I have done so and will speak on it when we get an opportunity. I now declare public statement time closed. The next item is apologies and leave of absence. I've received apologies from Councillor Sophie Dwyer, Councillor Kerry Hollywood, Councillor Tom McLean and Councillor Philippa Taylor for tonight's meeting. I now move on to requests for leave of absence. Are there any requests, councillors, for further leaves of absence? There being no requests, we now move on to the reports, and councillors, I'm in your hands. I seek a mover for the report, or for either for the officer's recommendation or as an alternate motion. Councillor Palooka.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move the alternative motion that I circulated earlier on to elected members in regards to CO 118, and there's a copy provided.
Thank you, Councillor. Do I have a seconder for that motion?
I'll second that, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded, Councillor Chester. Yeah. Yes. Under the Act regulations of the Local Government Act, we need one-third support from the members of Council to progress this motion. I need that by a show of hands. So, members, as this is our motion to change a decision of Council under Regulation 10, we need one-third support from the Council to progress this, which is five members. By a show of support, those in favour of progressing this motion, and those against. Declare the motion carried and it can proceed. Councillor Flipp.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The situation is fairly clear that we have ratepayers in a certain area that have been very vocal, I think very articulate, in putting the position to us as elected members that they wish for the consultation to proceed forthwith, and they obviously do not accept that any delay would be to their betterment. In fact, the sooner we start the consultation, the sooner the whole process will move through the system. In the case of the officer's recommendation, one of the conditions was the prior approval of the West Australian Planning Commission and the environment. That, I understand, has now been received. In regards to the amendment that I'm moving is very simply to add on to 1 to 5, which was decided in December, and varying that by items 6, 7 and 8, which are I think up ahead and everybody has read, so I won't read through those, but let me just say that I strongly advocate that all the elected members support this alternative motion, because quite frankly all we're doing is moving the consultation forward. There is no downside. Let me say that here. There is no downside in my mind or in the mind of the ratepayers for it to come forward. I think it's fair to say that most of us would accept that the end of December and the beginning of January may be what would be called the season. We have the right as elected members to otherwise stipulate by council in regards to the policy for the period. The rationale I've spelt out for the elected members, and it's again, I think, in front of everybody, but quite frankly, this needs to be dealt with expeditiously, and I would encourage every fellow elected member to support our ratepayers. We are elected by them to voice what they require, rather than being, I think, neutered to some degree by the bureaucracy that sits above us. We're not here to fit into some regimen where our ratepayers are disadvantaged and are put through extreme angst and, I think, disenchantment with the process. In that regard, I would again recommend, without any sort of dilution, the fact that we progress to early consultation forthwith, now that we've got the approval from the WAPC, we've also got the approval for the environmental. I cannot see an impediment. I also don't support the view that the holiday period is in swing and we're going to miss a whole lot of consultation. That just doesn't push with me. It's critical to the ratepayers, the time. Time of the essence has probably never been more relevant than in this particular instance. I have some great difficulty in understanding why anyone would vote against this, and I strongly advocate to my fellow elected members, all of those present today, that they support this. And I recommend it even more strongly because we need an absolute vote on this, which means we need eight votes. And regardless of how many in attendance today. So each and every vote here today is vital. On that basis, I will summarise and listen to other commentary and obviously reserve my right to rebut at the end. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Plifko. Councillor Chester.
I reserve my right, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Chester. Further councillors? Councillor Norman.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillors, as you're aware, I moved an amendment to this effect at the December Council meeting, explaining then that it was my view that the risk of not properly engaging the community in this particular case is very low, even advertising over this particular holiday period. I saw a quote from a George Patterson that read, "Take calculated risks. That is quite different from being rash." So again, I support Amendment 88 and 90 being advertised as soon as possible, as requested by our community.
Thank you, Councillor Norman. Further councillors? Further comments, councillors? Councillor May.
I'll just quickly add, as Russell said, or Councillor Plifko said, I'm interested to hear what the bulk of residents have to say about this. I don't accept that we're still in a holiday period. I don't know any industry that has holidays up until late February. And so I don't see a downside to this, so I'll be supporting bringing consultation forward so I can make an informed decision after the consultation period. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor May. Councillors? Councillor Chester?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, I feel very strongly that within constraints that we are left by the Local Government Act and always acting on sound advice from the City Administration. Notwithstanding that, we are primarily here as councillors, as representatives of our community, our residents and ratepayers. And in my opinion, we've had a very clear indication here tonight and on previous occasions that the residents very strongly want consultation to occur as early as possible. It is clearly understood that nothing can happen until the Western Australian Planning Commission are giving approval, but at least if we go early, we will be prepared. I don't think I need to add any more to that other than to say that we are really only reflecting the wishes of our community.
Thank you, Councillor Chester. Councillor Hamilton Prime.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a few questions for myself, if I may. When does the City believe the consultation material will be finalised?
Thank you, Councillor Hamilton Prime. My understanding is, if, as per the policy, it can go out almost immediately. I suppose the question is more, if the motion is carried today, when could it be finalised? Acting CEO?
Thank you, through you, Mr. Mayor. So the consultation materials have been worked on for a while now. There is a very thorough process in putting those together to eliminate potential bias or the perception of bias, to make sure that we contain all information that needs to be contained, in particularly the frequently asked questions. There are advertisements that need to be booked. We get the materials peer-reviewed internally outside of planning so that we make sure that we are using as simple language as possible or not planning speak, and that it's appropriate for a consultation process. So given Council's decision in December, all the teams involved have been working to a date of the 20th of February. If a decision is made tonight to bring that forward, we have already anticipated that that may be something we need to look at, and the teams are working hard to finalise that as soon as possible. But it won't occur tomorrow because we still need to do a little bit of work. I can't say for absolute certain what day we'll push the button. It won't be this week. It'll likely be next week or the week after.
Councillor.
Just a follow-up, if I may.
I just wanted to confirm for absolute clarity that if the council does decide to commence with consultation, why does the city believe that it's unlikely to result in significant saving of time?
Director?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I guess, as I said, we have planned to consult as soon as possible after the 20th of February. And I guess that if it was decided tonight to push the button earlier, we'll work very hard to get the consultation material out, but it will likely only save a couple of weeks. And I know that that's important to the residents, but it is a couple of weeks in a long, protracted process. And I guess, as the residents quite rightly pointed out, there is the complication of local planning scheme number 3. So it may not be saving time at all if we need to re-advertise under local planning scheme number 3.
Just one more, if I may. So I just wanted to confirm the city hasn't received confirmation to advertise from either WAPC or the EPA.
I think we received that confirmation yesterday, Councillor.
Excellent, thank you.
Councillors, I'm going to make... Oh, Councillor Logan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I hear crystal clear what the people here tonight have to say, and I can empathise with them. But consultation isn't about just the people in this particular venue. Consultation is about providing an opportunity for as many people as practical to have a say. And the reality is a lot of people in our community are still getting back to work. They are. They're still getting back to work. And kids haven't started school yet. It's a busy time of the year for a number of people. They don't tend to settle down until around about the middle of February. That's the reality of it. I question how much is to be gained, if anything, and we just heard what the planning director and acting CEO, Ms. Page, has to say about this by going out to consultation early. In fact, it might paint the city of Joondalup quite poorly when it comes to the WA Planning Commission that we broke a policy for a couple of days, thinking we might gain something along the way. WA Planning Commission is going to make the final call on this, if not the Minister. If we were to go out to consultation, it should have been done before the Christmas break. So why are we calling a special council meeting now if there is something to be gained? As Ms. Page points out, and as I'll reiterate, there may be something to gain, but it may be very little, if at all. It actually cost about $5,000, by the way, to actually hold this council meeting tonight. The ratepayers paid for the $5,000, not just the ratepayers in this room, but the ratepayers across the city. Now, if I was in a small community group, was handed a $5,000 check, it could mean the difference between survival and not survival for some of our small community groups. That's the reality of the climate that we're in at the moment. So the ratepayers are picking up that $5,000 cost of holding a special council meeting with little or anything to be gained for the residents. February 20 is a full council meeting. I think most of the people around this table and the people who are absent tonight, and perhaps they're absent too because they haven't returned to work. But I think it's true to say, an accurate reflection, that we want to see these amendments proceed pretty rapidly, but they should be done in proper course, due course, after the February 20 full council meeting. Indeed, there are some people in our community who see tonight's amendment, or motion, should let me say, to change the consultation period to go out early, there are some people in our community who see it as nothing more than a political stunt. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Logan. Councillor Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I wish to work alongside our ratepayers for a fair go on this issue, so I fully support this alternate motion.
Thank you, Councillor Jones. Councillors, I wish to make a few comments as well. First of all, Amendment 88 and Amendment 90 are amendments that this council supports unanimously. So as a community in Duncraig, you have our support. Please understand that, and please understand that through all my comments. The only debate before council today is whether we provide that support by shortcutting policy and process and trying to rush it, or whether we as your elected representatives provide that support by doing what we know and have been advised is the best way and the due proper process way to achieve this. And as has been flagged, there's a number of pitfalls down the road, and doing this the right way will get it there quicker. That is just how it works, particularly through the state government process. A bit of history around this issue as well, and most of you are well aware of it. When the housing opportunity areas first went out for public consultation and R30 was largely flagged through these areas, it received very strong community support. And that is why I commend the Duncraig residents for only asking for a reduction to R30 in this area, because that has been demonstrated to have very strong community support. And that was one of the reasons I've supported these amendments. Then the grievance that I pick up from many of you and from others around was there's a feeling that, and indeed not just a feeling, the consultation process going from R30 to R40 was shortcutted, or was cut short, maybe skipped a few of the steps that were in the other one. And that, to me, is also somewhat of a genuine grievance. And again, that's why I've supported the motions to this point. But that is also a grievance that others in the community who will oppose this. And there are members of our community who will have significant concerns about downzoning their property. And they have just as much a right to be consulted and to be duly consulted. The reality is that if we progress this tonight and we break our own policy, or we go against our own policy to make it happen, we put a chink in our armour, we put a hole in a watertight argument that we're seeking to carry forward, and we give those on the other side of this argument, and it would be naive in the extreme to think that they aren't out there, they will be coming in here in a few months' time and saying, well, what gives? For the sake of maybe a week or two here or there, you're prepared to circumvent your policy, and they'll have a strong point too. And that's one of the main reasons why I wouldn't be supporting it. Now, the final person making a public statement talked about going down to that area. I've spent a lot of time in South Duncraig in the last few weeks over the holiday period. I've door-knocked through South Duncraig. I've door-knocked residents directly in this area through both the R40 and the R60 areas. And the feedback that I've had as I've door-knocked surprised me. I would say it was probably about 50-50. About half the people were quite happy with the zoning as it currently stood. Both some newer residents and some very long-term residents were happy with the zoning as it currently stood. And indeed, around 50%, maybe slightly more than 50%, did want to see this change. And again, that confirms the sense of the council, and that's why we supported it to this point. But what I can also tell you was, the vast majority of people I spoke to on the doorstep had no idea that these amendments were in train, did not realise that this meeting was happening tonight. And those are the people who I'm seeking to defend here tonight in saying, no, we will not shortcut our policy. We will not shortcut our consultation. We will learn perhaps some of the things you're saying, perhaps some of the lessons of previously, and we will seek to do the best possible consultation of the community that we can. One comment that I might make, if you like, where I was a little bit disappointed was the question we received to allow for a previewing and a review of the consultation papers ahead of them going out. Well, that would delay it further. So we can't on the one hand be arguing to rush it out as quickly as possible and then on the other hand completely circumvent due process, and that would also, by the way, would actually take longer. But I suppose my key point is this is something that your council does support you on. As you come into this chamber, as we debate this in the months going forward, as the challenges come from time to time, in your approach to this council, please approach us as people who are genuinely trying to help, and that is the position of this council unanimously. The only debate amongst this council is whether we follow our own policy procedures and processes or we seek to shortcut them. And that's a legitimate debate for us to have. But it's certainly not the sort of debate that should indicate you see some councillors as being on your side and some not. The entire council is attempting to help address the concerns in this area. Brief mention was made of the other amendments around restricting multiple dwellings in R40. And also allowing for greater design controls. That is something that this city has always sought. That was stripped off this city without our say on the way through. And that is something we are seeking to address. And again, on the doorstep, that was something that I would say would have alleviated 80% of the concerns. So that is not simply window dressing. 80% of the concerns which have been addressed to the council at this stage will be addressed by those amendments, and they are ones which we will also be progressing. They are also reflective of the effort of this council in meeting your concerns. But I will not be supporting the motion tonight because I do not believe in putting a chink in our own armour as we carry this forward, because if I have learnt one thing in more than 12 years of public life at different tiers of government is that process must be followed to the best of your capacity, because otherwise you do come unstuck down the road. So in not supporting this, I'm not supporting this motion because I'm genuinely trying to support you to achieve the outcome that you're seeking in your area. And I know from bitter experience that if we try and rush it, I'd be doing you a disservice. Councillor Palifka.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and let me just touch on some of the points raised. I, during the mayoral campaign and also more recently, have also had the opportunity to speak to a significant number of people in Duncraig South. I have to say that I have not had one person come to me and say, I want the current zoning to exist. Not suggesting that's not the case out there. But if it was the case and there was some concern, surely to goodness we would have heard something from them today. That wasn't the case. The other thing, I suppose, is that we are trying to shortcut. We're not shortcutting anything. What we are doing are taking a rational decision to actually reinforce a position put to us by most of the ratepayers. I mean, these people actually represent groups. They're only, they don't in themselves just represent their own homes. They're members of associations. We have to take that into cognizance. This issue has been bouncing around. The consultation on this has been extensive. It's not something which has just popped up. It's been around. And I find it hard to believe that we are in some way shortcutting or thwarting a process. The process of the holiday advertising, by its very nature over the years, has been shown that that's not held as some sort of an axiom. It is simply a guideline. It's the rationale to delay this. I mean, we talk about days. No, it's not going to be days. February starts the process for the next consultation. This, if we go to consultation now, we will cover the period at the beginning of February. The consultation is not a two-day consultation. It's an extensive period of time. It will capture all the people involved. And I can't understand that logic. The cost of $5,000. In the quantum of our budget and our process, and I understand quite well that $5,000 to a sporting club is a lot of money. But if we are going to ignore ratepayers that are going to be impacted maybe to a far greater extent in the way of livelihood, and we're starting to equate it to 5,000, give me a break. That's just not rational. The other issue that was raised was, of course, in regards to we are in some way working to the detriment of our ratepayers. I cannot see that. I think it's a vacuous argument to suggest that we sit in this chamber trying to be political. I am non-political, and I take offence at that. Let me say that quite clearly. I've stated time and time again, I will support the ratepayers' position every time. Every time, without exception, unless it's immoral. And quite frankly, we as elected members have vowed to do so. And yet here we are talking about maybe it'll take an extra 2 weeks. If it saved 1 month, and I was a person who was going to be safe from having a three-storey, six-unit building next to me, I would be proud of the fact that my elected members looked after me and not some process, some bureaucracy. Let's get real. I urge us all to think very sharply about what's been said tonight, and it will reflect upon you, I would suggest, if we don't take into account the ratepayers' position. I thank you very much for listening to me. Strongly advise you to vote for it, not against it, and stop putting impediments which don't exist in the way. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Members in the chamber, please. Many of you have been here, you know the rules. Councillors, I put the motion on the screens before you and invite you to cast your votes. I declare the voting closed, and as this item requires an absolute majority, the motion is lost. Thank you, councillors. That concludes tonight's special council meeting, and I hereby close the meeting at 7:54 p.m. Good evening.